Let me affectionately welcome all of you for my last session, where I will try to tell them, if I can take this point from Navi Krishna, it means something like bind it or bind to something, and I can tell them all the points and bring them to a, let me say, a doable doable point which we can hopefully take with us out of the immediate context of this Pandavasena mentorship retreat and implant it into our daily lives. Translation. In accordance with the particular nature one has acquired in conditioned life, whatever one does according to this nature, with the body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness,
One should offer that to the Supreme Thinking. This is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. So, whatever one does with the body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, according to one's particular nature that one has acquired, one should offer that to the Supreme Thinking. This is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. There is insight into this idea of doing really everything, including insignificant activities, and connecting them with Krishna. This verse says, whatever you have, according to your nature, in other words, the way you are now, not the way in which you are when you have attained perfection, but whatever it is, offer that and do that with the idea, this is for the pleasure of the Lord. Now, this rationale is something very, very, very particular to Bhakti. On the karma path, you can only offer prescribed activities which are done according to a very particular set of Vedic injunctions. On the path where you move away from this world, through detaching from it, you also have to do very particular things and not do other things. But on the path of Bhakti, it seems that whatever you do, that is, you connect that. Whatever your nature is, do not give that up, but engage it in Krishna's service. And you will soon see, you will say, well, Maharaj, this is a point we have heard 1,060 times. Please don't waste our time this morning with this point. You will see, as it we shed the light of this, these some verses from the 11th canto on this, it will come out in a totally new color for you at this point. Krishna ends his instructions to Uddhava with instruction which he considers to be the cream of all intelligent statements. This is what it is. Esha buddhimatam buddhaya manisha cha manishinam yat satyam anirittena matyena pnoti mamritam. He says this process of bhakti is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. Wow. Let us pay our obeisances before we even dare to look at this. May you please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Guru Namani Prasadi Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. which I have just read to you, Lord Krishna describes to Uddhava what he considers to be the most intelligent action, the most clever perspective. And it comes out in the purport of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which I will read today to you in an excerpt. That a devotee may not be intelligent in terms of making a lot of money or dissecting very difficult points in the scriptures. His intelligence is working exclusively in this one realm. Oh, thank you very much. How attentive of you. Thank you. Roses are just wonderful, especially when they smell, which is not always the case. Different times. But dear devotees, please focus on this. This is really... Krishna's definition of intelligence is something really sublime. To use something which is temporary, like the material body, to achieve the eternal Lord, that he considers to be really intelligent. It's like, to give a worldly example, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will give later, if you can use something like so valueless, like one penny, and you can somehow invest it and let it move in the financial ocean back and forth, and then it brings you a return of 30 billion pounds. Then, for a materialist, oh my God, he was really intelligent. This was really, Balaram is unusually intelligent, we would say, if he would do that. Huh? But here, Vishwanath has explained the real intelligence is not in the money making field. He says the inhabitants of Bharat Bhumi, that's us, who are mortal and born in low families, can offer me their bodies, which are actually not worth a penny, for they are often deformed and will eventually be afflicted with old age and disease. They can offer this valueless thing. He says not worth a penny. In German currency, is currently the chemicals you can purchase for 4 euros 35 pence. So it's an inflated currency. So it's worthless. It's small. But through their offering, Vishwanath says, they can attain me, Krishna speaking, the ocean of sweetness. Accepting their offerings, I, who am supposed to be the cleverest, give myself with joy to the devotees, along with my priceless ornaments, bracelets, and even my crown. They get everything for offering me something which is temporary and unreal body. So aren't these inhabitants of Bharat Bhumi who are offering themselves in service the most intelligent and skillful? I think you will this is something very, very nice to consider. Yesterday, Navi Krishna said, do we just want to have a happy life here? Do we want to have an eternal life of bliss and knowledge with Krishna? Do we want to adjust this life, or do we want to make it our last life? It was a very, very... Did you hear this statement? It was... Some felt, who came in my room felt, wow, this is really... It's at once alluring and frightening, said one devotee. I think that this perspective that you can get Lord Krishna, the ocean of sweetness, together with his priceless ornaments, his bracelets and crown, this is if you are approaching it from this perspective, then you are really intelligent. So, my dear devotees, this idea of using something which is temporary and in a way not very valuable to get the greatest treasure in life is a very revolutionary idea, and it is unique to bhakti. Just before this verse which I have just read to you, making use of the temporary to get the eternal, appears another shloka where Krishna prepares us to think about this, using our temporary existence, which is useless, to get the most useful thing. He says, O Uddhava, greatest of saints, one, because he is a bhakta, a devotee. O Uddhava, greatest of saints, in a dangerous situation, an ordinary person cries. In this danger, he becomes fearful and he laments. Although such useless emotions do not change the situation, and there's some problem and you just cry, your tears won't wash the situation away. But, he says, listen to this, activities offered to me without personal motivation, even if they are externally useless, amount to the actual process of religion. Para dharma is the Sanskrit, the highest dharma. So, you know, activities like crying in a dangerous situation or becoming fearful in the night when there are terrifying things looming in the darkness, or lamenting and crying when something did not mend, is useless. Why? Because it is not changing anything. It's therefore inconsequential. But in bhakti, everything changes. Anything, even the smallest, apparently useless activity, when offered to Krishna in this spirit, you know, giving something to Krishna, it becomes all of a sudden very useful. Srila Prabhupada once told an amazing little story about this, which opened a world of new insights to those who heard it. It was about a very cruel Grihastha couple who never ever gave anything to sadhus who came to their door to ask for alms. So once there was this very advanced sadhu who thought they're wasting their life with their unnecessary miserliness and the extreme reservation towards everything sacred. Let me try to save them. So he went there, although it was known that they would cruelly send beggars away, with his uttariya. This is what sannyasis use for begging. Like this, they come and opened it and said, and the wife came out, and he addressed her humbly, "Mother, can you please give me some alms?" "Don't you know what is the disposition of this house? She ran back in the house, told her husband. Her husband said, "Show him." So she went to where the cooking oven was, took a handful of ashes, came out and threw it in the Uttariya. So the sadhu said, "Wow, thank you. That was wonderful. Your process of giving has just now started." It was useless. So then she went back and told her husband. And it was so shocking, this reaction of the sadhu, that they changed, and he came back a week later and they gave him bananas. Your process has started. So this idea, I'm telling you such a very, very shocking little story to wake your intelligence up in this morning, is that no one should think my offering is too useless. I cannot compare with the great people in Pandavasena who are talented like Rupa and Nanda. or, you know, they were talking about Ghanasyam Priya, was it that? I don't know, Nanda, if you have also this ability to talk with your mobile phone to a million people at once. Maybe. Hare Krishna. Anything, even apparently insignificant things. Krishna always protects and maintains his devotees, says Sri Taswami. But when the devotee cries to the Lord for protection or maintenance, desiring to continue his devotional service unimpeded, Lord Krishna accepts such apparently unnecessary appeals to be Parodharma, the highest Dharma. In other words, Krishna is already taking care. But even though this is, it would not be necessary to therefore turn to him, it's already granted. If you do that, Krishna, and you cry, "Oh Krishna, help," he thinks it's Parodharma. One can really offer everything to Krishna. With Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this connection, I will quote very many quotes because I need to convince you that that is the reason. "Just as a material person starts the morning performing actions such as urinating, passing stool, washing his mouth, brushing his teeth, bathing, and then seeing and discussing with his family members how to attain material happiness." Just like a material person does all these things, so the devotee of the Lord will do all these activities as service to the Lord. These become angas or parts of bhakti. The point really is, my dear devotees, we all have a conditioned nature, a body, a mind, with certain limitations. Everyone has his limitations. It's not very much what we can do in consideration of the highest standards. But we can, what we can do is we can turn our consciousness and say, "I do what I can for Krishna." There is a statement which I heard from Adi Purusha Prabhu. I forgot really where he found it, but it says, even when a person goes to the bathroom, he can do that by saying, "I will relieve myself of my toxic waste now." You know, it means he uses the boil bowl, or what it's called, the toilet, yeah. Because then I'm free in my mind to think of Krishna. And I can, and in this way, not the end product of the human digestion. No, no. This mentality, "I'm doing this to be fit for service for Krishna," becomes connected with bhakti. Just see the scope of bhakti. Because bhakti really means the conditioned soul, the wayward conditioned soul, the straying on the streets of this world. He's a stray cat or a stray dog, like that to me. He turns to Krishna, and Krishna thinks, come on, oh, you have come.
Prabhupada says like this, when we turn to Krishna, Krishna says, come on, come on, come closer.
So this is the idea of bhakti. You must agree, this is wonderful. The scriptures, in order to convince us, give us a few amazing examples how everyone can do bhakti. Everyone, just you need to somehow turn to Krishna. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchetya 153, Jiva Goswami gives two amazing examples. As you hear the example, your intelligence will be challenged, because how can this be? But if you see these examples from the perspective that has someone turned to Krishna in this example or not, then you will understand. Because when someone turns to Krishna, this very act, it's here where bhakti starts. It's not where it ends, but it's where it starts. So there is one example from the Janmashtami Mahatmya of the Brahmanda Purana, which Shiva Goswami quotes. It's about a real unpleasant thing. It's about a servant in the master's house who says, I will stay up on this Janmashtami. Now he meets a maidservant in this house who is also up in Janmashtami and makes an all-night vigil. Vigil means to stay up, right? And somehow they engage in licentious association. I do not wish to go into the detail here. Jiva Goswami remarks, they both attain a huge result because they have somehow, in all this, let us say, licentious activities, they stay up because it's Janmashtami and so on. Another second example is that of a mouse who dies on the altar when it performs an involuntary artik. I think you have heard this many times, so I will summarize it. There was this mouse living in the temple, and in India this is very common. I do not know how it is in the Bhaktivedanta manner. If there are mice on the altar, I think we would usher them out if we would see them. But in India, coexistence is maybe an involuntary fact. You can't help it. So this mouse used to drink the clarified butter in the oil lamps or the ghee lamps, and one day, by the will of providence, the mouse went to drink again from the lamp before the flame was extinguished, and the burning, somehow it drank in such a way that the tooth got stuck with the burning wick. He was very greedy, this mouse, or maybe it was a he-mouse, and wanted to drink, and somehow the front tooth got stuck in the burning ghee wick, and when it went up, it took the ghee wick along, and it burst out into even bigger flames. The mouse was panicking and wanting to get rid of it. It made like this an artik to the deity. And it went, then it died, maybe heart failure.
But, my dear devotees, from the mouse body, a beautiful, liberated forearm form came out and went back to Godhead, to Vaikuntha. Because at the end of her life, she had done this and therefore attained the abode of the Lord. So Jiva Goswami remarks on these unusual incidences. He says, "Are you ready?" "Oh, you sleep. Why do you sleep? This is so important. Should I ask you like Abhishek?" "You are ready. Are you following?"
"Yes."
"Are you a follower?" "Oh, sorry, maybe you were overwhelmed with the thinking process." So, when someone who is authentic in his or her bhakti expresses the desire to preserve his or her physical body, it is seen as an eagerness to increase the worship of the Lord and not merely as a desire to protect a body. Say a devotee goes and does some health care. If he does it with the motive, "I wish to serve Krishna," this is seen as an eagerness to increase the worship of Krishna. This type of desire is not detrimental to the essential purpose of bhakti. As far as the ignorant are concerned, you know, like the mouse didn't have an idea to serve Krishna, nor had the man who cleansed the temple an idea when he did his licentious behavior. So Jiva Goswami says, as far as the ignorant are concerned, such as the mouse who ate the ghee mix in the temple, or the man who cleansed a temple to enjoy with a woman of loose character, they all attain perfection, although engaged in offensive behavior. Why this was also appropriate, he asked? Yeah, because they were unaware of committing any offense. The mouse had no idea of stealing from the Lord, nor these unusual two people. They were not aware of anything. But because there was no inauthenticity of heart, the influence of their service overcame the effect of their unintentional offenses. So Krishna is so kind. Just any little thing where we turn to him and do service, my dear devotees, is seen by Krishna. We are, of course, not ignorant. We should not follow the example of the mouse and the other people. We know about bhakti. So we follow a route where we see, what can I do with my conditioned nature? What can I offer? Where is my contribution? And this immediately brings us into the realm of bhakti. Now you must know that you can practice bhakti in three ways. This is a very important point. I think it is will be new for some of you. There is Arupa Siddha Bhakti, Sangha Siddha Bhakti, and Swarup Siddha Bhakti. Arupa means to attribute something, to put something there. It's attributive bhakti. Let me give you an example. Let us say I like to teach others. I'm a teacher, I've made my education as a teacher, and I decide now this activity which I like to do, which I can do, I will attribute it to Krishna. I will do it in Krishna's service. Immediately it becomes Arupa Siddha Bhakti. You do something according to your nature. Like, for instance, making money.
I've heard some of you are inclined in this direction to create wealth. This in itself could entangle you in material existence. It is not something in itself, on its own, which is bhakti. But you can take this inclination, and then at the end of the day, or let me say when your time comes, you say, okay, I've created this much wealth, let me give this percentage now to a Krishna conscious purpose. Immediately you perform Arupa Siddha Bhakti. You understand, right? It's you attribute it, you bring it in contact with. Second type of bhakti, Sangha Siddha Bhakti. You may bring something in contact with Sangha, means with Krishna. Let us say we have a good manager. Those who are good managers, I'm not, so therefore I cannot really speak to them. But I've seen very good managers. You give them something to manage. Oh, they blossom. Yeah, well, it's so easy. Take A here, put it next to Epsilon, take the combination of A and Epsilon and put it to use here, and you will see everything, your operation works very nice. You do it in good faith and pow, everything works very nice. Management skills, seeing how to put places, things, people, money, places, people, anything into their proper places and let them interact and create a wonderful example. I think this in itself has nothing to do with bhakti. It's a skill. However, if you bring this skill and offer it to the spread of Krishna consciousness, then all of a sudden you perform Sangha Siddha Bhakti. That's something which becomes bhakti by associating with Krishna. Now, the most important bhakti, which you need so that the other two will work, it is called Swarup Siddha Bhakti. Swarup Siddha Bhakti, by contrast, are practices of devotional service that have inherent in them spiritual potency. The potency of bhakti, it's called the Hladini Shakti and the Samvit Shakti. Yes, these two. This is bhakti no matter what. It's bhakti from the beginning, without attributing it, without bringing it in contact with the Krishna conscious purpose. It has inherent the devotional energy of bhakti. For instance, anyone can give examples for Swarup Siddha Bhakti. Chanting in itself, it is bhakti. Hearing about Krishna, Shravanam and Kirtanam, plus all the other seven limbs of devotional service, you know, Smaranam, remembering Krishna, serving his lotus feet, etc. They are Swarup Siddha Bhakti because inherently Krishna is present in his names, in his pastimes, in his deity, and so on. So practicing Swarup Siddha Bhakti forcefully carries you forward in bhakti. Even if you perform it unknowingly, it has so much shakti. It has inherent potency, even unknowingly. If you just manage that, you need to bring it in contact with the Krishna conscious purpose. If you just teach, for instance, or create wealth, It is not there. It doesn't bring you into the abode of the Lord if you do it on its own. But Swarup Siddha Bhakti is in its own, on its own, and it empowers all the other things so that they become powerful. Once there was a lecture which Prabhupada gave in Shridham Mayapur, and this was a very telling situation. He was talking, giving about, his Krishna conscious lectures. We all have heard them. He talks about Krishna, service to Krishna, and so on. And in the midst of the lecture, one devotee got up and went out. He had something to do. Prabhupada stopped his lecture and asked, "Where is he going?" Our bhakti begins with Shravanam and Kirtanam. I'm quoting now. We have to hear about Krishna. We have to speak about Krishna. But if we are not interested in hearing and speaking, then all we do will simply become a formula. That's all. And gradually it will be stopped. Unless there is life, he speaks of Swarup Siddha Bhakti, of Shravanam Kirtanam, these big, big buildings, temples, will become a burden. You follow? Because it's no longer abide with the bhakti. I'm doing this for Krishna, and there is no longer a Krishna conscious exchange. It's these activities on their own. And we all know this. Or don't we know this, my dear devotees? We sometimes, there's so much to do, and our chanting suffers, our reading suffers, our real, Krishna conscious association, where we sit down and we share our devotional experiences on the path of bhakti, suffers, and all of a sudden all these things are becoming so difficult, and we become, how do we say, burnt out to the crisp. And we can't imagine, I can't do this for my whole life. How long can I maintain this? You lack the life of bhakti, of Swarup Siddha Bhakti, because all these things will become a burden, in Prabhupada's thing, if there is not this life-giving Shravanam Kirtanam. That's why we have these retreats and feel so enlivened. Yesterday I saw you. You were just, after this whole package, you were just flying, virtually one, 3 inches above the ground, we feel. So happy, enlivened, and so on. It comes from direct bhakti, from Swarup Siddha Bhakti. That is the strength. And it is this. So this is the strength of Pandavasena. This is the strength of our movement. And this bhakti idea, which we have correctly. So I want to now revisit this verse again with which we started and complete this. Oops. You see, we have added a fifth line. Narayana yeti samapayami. Samapayami means I offer this. The verse gives us a process, or gives us an insight, what in accordance with the particular nature one has acquired and conditioned life, whatever one does with body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer to the Supreme, saying, "This is for the pleasure of Narayan." And let me ask you, what bhakti, what type of bhakti of the three is this? I looked at Balaram and he said something, but I couldn't hear.
Swarupa?
Swarup Siddha Bhakti, Balaram says. Any other idea? What? Sangha Siddha Bhakti? We have almost all the three. Think. This is for thinking now. It says, we should have had the, now I'm thinking, it would have been good to have the English in front of our eyes. Yeah, I know. Let us just go. is a someone has a particular nature, and he's recommended to use the body, the birth, the mind, the senses, and so on. And what he does with this intelligence, purified consciousness, and use this and bring it to Krishna. What could this be? Aroba Siddha Bhakti, yeah, and parts of Sangha Siddha Bhakti. This in itself, remember how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur put it out for us, like going to the bathroom. That's how you use the body, no? I did it this morning. I was engaged because I was so tired, it took me longer. I was going restless until I had gone through the whole routine. And then I thought, well, this morning I will speak about this. I'm doing this not for the pleasure of Krishna. So that my fragrance is tolerable, and I'm a clean mind. I can think properly to present this to all of you. So then I attributed these activities which I did for the pleasure of Krishna and his Vaishnavas. So, if you want to do this, my dear devotees, then you will say, I offer this to you, my Lord. Whatever I have done, I recommend this all. It's in the Pancharatika Deepika. In the end of the day, you can say, whatever I have done, Krishna, please, it is for your pleasure. I'm knowing I'm your part. I have heard this, I've accepted this, it is for your pleasure. And this is how I tune myself in, and then when I wake up, this was the last shloka before I went to bed, then I wake up, okay, let me do something more for Krishna than just showering. Let me see, is there something extraordinary where I can spread Srila Prabhupada's movement. So, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains to us, what does it really mean to offer my body to Krishna? What do I do? And I believe if you have not registered anything in this class, now it's time, please, to hear and to think deeply about what you hear. Remember how Krishna advised Uddhava to use his temporary body to attain the kingdom of God by engaging it in service. Now, what do you do when you want to use the temporary to get the eternal? What does it mean practically? And it is this which I would like you to take home with you. It's the, in America you say, it's the takeaway. The takeaway from whatever I could present during this seminar. Listen please very carefully. He asks, what does it mean to give one's body to the Lord? What does this mean? It means to engage the ear and other organs in hearing, chanting, remembering, and service. What is this? You know it. This is Swarup Siddha Bhakti. It is the inherent Shakti to use your ear to hear about Krishna, chant his glories, remember him, do service. If the tongue is engaged in chanting, if the ears are engaged in hearing, if the hands are engaged in service, then one is giving one's body to the Lord. Vishwanath says, but the Lord is attained even by offering to him only one part of the body. What intelligent person would not do this? My dear devotees, serve every day Ask yourself before you go to bed, what could I offer today to Krishna? Then your life is valuable. Then you perform that in these activities which have bhakti in them, and you will become happy. This will bring you to Krishna, to the abode of Krishna. It's for you. It's the gift of an ancient tradition which has lasted for thousands of years. That yes, every one of us, he doesn't need to be extremely skilled. He can do what his nature is, and do that for Krishna. Offer something to Krishna, and this will make you happy. I would like to say something personal. See, I'm not trained in school. When I'm requested to speak before the Avanti teachers, I feel slightly uncomfortable, like Gokrishna yesterday when he was requested to speak before all of you. A little nervousness is there. If they find out, even by now I'm a little bored. I admit it publicly. I ran away. I'm one of those. You have to warn your children about. Somehow I could understand. I'm not good for so many things. I'm not very practical. If you ask me anything practical, I can't even operate a mobile telephone. It's somehow I have two left hands. I'm not born on the bright side of life. I'm not extremely intelligent. When I see these devotees performing these intelligent holy skits, I'm thinking, well, so fast they can think and so fast they can react. I'm a little slow in everything I do. So many things. I'm not, you know, I'm a little older in Krishna consciousness. That's the only thing which is there as far as I'm concerned. But I have one nature. When I'm enthusiastic for something, you can send me on the road. I will dance there. When I understood something which is good and which is helpful, I want to tell it to the world. That is a nature which I think I have inherited from my father, who was amongst other things in this huge company, the representative to the German press. I can talk a little. I make grammatical mistakes, but when I'm enthusiastic, I can talk. So that I can offer to Krishna and do it in Krishna's service. That has been my motto. I was only a preacher, never a manager, never anything. I only used this little thing, which in the ocean of all the things which I can't do, I can do to Krishna. And I'm very happy in my old age. Usually in old age, more vata comes and people are frustrated. No, I'm very happy in my old age. A happy old man. Because this little thing, somehow, by Prabhupada's mercy, he implored his disciples, do something for Krishna. Do something for suffering humanity. He implored us. And use what you can for Krishna. Prabhupada's mission was also very wide, or is very wide. Prabhupada's mission is very wide. Anything you have, any one of us has a gift. We are not 100% in anything. That means we are also not 100% useless. It's not possible. There is something. And therefore our movement should be welcoming more and more for all the gifts. It should give equal opportunity to all who come to our doors. Be they men, be they women, be they children, be they super intelligent, be they practically minded, and so on. They all can start with what their nature is, and as they become exposed to this direct bhakti, which gives devotion into the heart, they can go back home, back to Godhead. This is so wonderful. This is not there on the path of karma or jnana. But Krishna very clearly says it. Anyone
even with bad qualities, can come to his door and offer service. No? There's these verses, kings, women, shudras, everyone, welcome in the house of Bhakti and engage yourself. But don't miss the point to hear this direct bhakti, Swarup Siddha Bhakti, to hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna, serve Krishna, because that only will give you life. That only will give you the confidence. That will give you the strength.
I'm very much looking forward to this concluding session. Because it is there where Naveen Krishna Prabhu will lay out some plans or some ways in which you can be engaged in Pandava Sena, even if you enter the and of course when you enter the Grihastha Ashrama, you need to have a little, not a little, you need some money for the children, for the rent of the house. Even there, you can engage in Krishna consciousness. You don't have to go outside, you can stay with this. You know? Because the idea is really to create a forum where everyone, no matter what their circumstances is, can serve Krishna. This is my takeaway. Have you understood me?
Yes.
You have. Do you agree?
Yes.
I will check you next year. That was a year of a yes with life. Good. So I'm seeing you have a question, Rasa Bihari. It will be answered, but we will have to see in which forum. Maybe in a private forum.
I was just about to say, because we've had now 5 sessions with Maharaj, and lots of people have had questions. What we're going to do, we're changing the schedule a little bit, and we're going to use the next 20 minutes to address any questions that any of you have, because I think that might be useful in case people don't get a chance to see you. So we're taking half an hour of your time, but that's fine because no one really wants breakfast anyway. So we'll spend the time doing that right now for the next 20 minutes, and then we'll kind of move on to the next. So, now's the chance to ask any questions that you have.
Yes, I saw Rasa Bihari. Rasa Bihari's
hand. Maharaj, something I've always struggled with is, how do I know if I've done my best? So you're saying you do what you can, but how do you know if you've done your best?
How do you know if you have done your best? I said, yesterday we had a quote that said the Braj Basis worked all day, and then they went soundly to sleep in the evening. I think this is a very simple parameter. If you really have done your best, you will be a little exhausted. You have given everything. How do you know you have given your best? Oh, Krishna. You have to become more conscious in your life. There is no way around it. And have to check. Mm-hmm. You have to live a little bit sattvically, and then your consciousness is more illumined with awareness, and then you... I've got a question. How do I know that I've given my best? Rasa Bihari, it starts with the motivation. If it is like I really want to serve Krishna, then as you serve, you will more and more become inclined to give your best to Krishna, because you become more and more purified by this motivation. If this motivation is not there. But there's only one aspect to your question. I will think more about it, but we want to give others the chance. I will think more. Yes. Yes. Maharaj, any question as of yet, or would you like to think more? And then here's a question, I see. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj. You're speaking about Krishna, seeing Krishna as our friend. In the purports to one of the verses in Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says that the friends of Krishna consider him to be one of their own, and they do not consider him to be of reverential importance. So when I read that, I was thinking, well, he's the supreme, you know. If you're asking us to consider him to be one of his friends, how do we do that?
Krishna. It's Krishna, yes. Thank you very much. Yes. Have you understood the question? He's the supreme. I mean, the friends of Lord Krishna, the Parikas, they see him as a friend, and there is not a thing of even a whiff of reference. But is that a role model for us to follow? There are two ways of dealing, there are two levels of dealing with this statement, Krishna is our friend. And I believe it is a wonderful question and a very necessary question which you have asked. The highest level, which is not yet within our attainment, is one of rasa, where we know our relationship to Krishna. It's either servitude, friendship, parenthood, or the relationship of a confidential lover of Krishna. This is revealed at a later state in our devotional life, when we are completely free of anattas, and when we are experiencing already bhava, or an exalted state of love of God, an ecstatic state, in fact. For us, this is something to look up to with utmost respect. But when we speak about making Krishna our friend, we mean another thing. We mean that that which Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Suridam Savabhutanam, I'm the best friend of all living entities. How is he the best friend? He's there in the heart as a super soul. He has come with us even into this dark material world to give us guidance, to give us remembrance, to give us forgetfulness, to give us knowledge. You know, he's there. I think a good friend is, there's a statement, a good friend is there always with you. He's with you in good times and in bad times. He will accompany you to the court of the king. That means when the king is punishing you, the friend will come along. He's always there. And even when your corpse is carried to the burning ghat, the good friend is there in the following and comes along. This is a good friend. He doesn't forsake you. He is with you always. And Krishna is our good friend idea. Is the Lord in the heart who is there, and who is, and Dina, the practical, you can practically experience it when you turn to him. When you turn to him, my dear Lord, I'm in this situation. There are difficult areas in my life. When I look at them, I get tears in my eyes. I can't solve this alone. Please, my dear Lord, help me. And you will see the good friend has heard you, and he will do something. Yes, it's very.
Hi, Vishnu. Thank you so much for your class. My question is on the difference between Aroha Siddhi Bhakti and Sangha Siddhi Bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little bit confused because my understanding of what you presented for Aroha Siddhi Bhakti is that we use our nature for Krishna. But then for Sangha Siddhi Bhakti, you gave the example of someone who's a manager and using that skill for Krishna.
It seems to be the same.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
There is a subtle difference, and I will, if you are, to just because you are all super intelligent people, I don't want to Sangha Siddha Bhakti specifically refers to using karma or jnana, neither of which by nature possess the potency of bhakti to help one perform devotional services. Helps one. It's examples of such bhakti are, like for instance, qualities which you cultivate, like forgiveness, humility, and anything you do in the mode of goodness, that is not yet bhakti in itself. There are many humble people. Sometimes people say, well, I see better behaved people in the material world than in our own circles. And yes, you can see people, although they may be more forgiving and they may not be as envious as Rupa was yesterday. Not Rupa, but what the character you played. You know, by the way, I've never seen such acting. I think the big actors of the world, like Brad Pitt or so, should really go to you and learn what is expressive acting. But it was maybe a certain style that they prefer a different style. Maybe. I'm not an expert in this. So you use there are certain qualities which you learn when you are and one is this intelligence which you have in management, and then you bring this with that is in connection with Krishna. This is how I understand it. That is the example which is given in the scriptures. There's attributive bhakti, aroma siddhi bhakti. Is you use an activity, you know, like making wealth or so on. Thank you for being interested in the detail. That's how I understand it. For the sandhavas, karma and jnana, to use karma and jnana. And whereas the other is really anything which you do, you put to Krishna. Good.
Any other questions from Majitis?
Now, Majitis, yes. Can you please speak louder?
Really enjoyed your talk, so thank you so much. And really penetrated something really deeply. My question is, as women in the society of ISKCON, how do we, in conjunction to being nurturers and mothers, how do we continue to use something that we feel that we can offer to Krishna in service. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, yes. The question is clear, and I read a book called 11 Years and 5 Months. Who has read this book? Some of you. Mm-hmm. It is a book where one elderly disciple of Prabhupada, Mataji Vishakha, I think we have heard, reflects about the early days in Krishna consciousness. And the main theme of this book, the main thread of this book, is how an agnostic or an atheist was charmed by Srila Prabhupada, that is herself, she was born in an atheistic family, how she became convinced to practice Krishna consciousness by Srila Prabhupada's care and attention. Now in this book there is also a history which is told, that is the perception of women
in ISKCON and their contribution. This history is highlighted, and there appears one quote which is very amazing and thought-provoking. Srila Prabhupada says there that while his god brothers saw the women more in the roles of traditional Indian society and not as preachers who go out, he is asking Himavati, that is, she was the wife of my first temple president, to go out and preach. And he says to Himavati in this letter, please show by your practical example that you are fitting this role. So I take from there something which we something very interesting, that there was in the Indic cultures as a perception as women being only nurturers, being only caretakers and so on, where Srila Prabhupada saw that in the Western society women also have other contributions to give, and he gave them the place and the opportunity, of course, because the basic philosophy is we are eternal souls and servants of Krishna. We are not this body. It cannot be defined, therefore, according to our bodily designation. What he was very careful about is too much mixing between the genders, because of this main problem in the heart of the condition, so the lusty nature. And I think what we have to carefully consider and then solve is how Matajis or women who have that ability and nature to do something beyond the mother role, how they can do it and give them such a place, while at the same time keeping in mind this concern of a spiritual culture, which I think is very justified. That is something we have to figure out in our life and in our thing, and then go ahead with the things. And this would be my answer. I do know that we could go in a huge discussion on this point, because it has not always been figured out to the full satisfaction of able Matajis, this point, and we need to look at it and work on it. Mm-hmm. Good. Let me look at the wristwatch without you seeing. I think we can close everything. Yeah, so from my side, it's not, there's another time when we say goodbye, I think. Let us not think of saying goodbye at this stage. But wow, this is a good atmosphere. It's very, very nice. I have been in Bhaktivinoda Hall. I like the surroundings very much, which Akhandadi provides to us. They're wonderful to have, really amazing. But the content is also important. You made it all very, very nice. And I would think for many, many days about the theater play. It was stunningly good, you know. I'm still awed. Hare Krishna. Yes, Abhishek.